commitment luncheon. At this time, would you please give a warm welcome to the Education Group Chair, Mr. Gene Sperling.
Thank you very much. And I guess I have to start with saying thank you to all of you who were here last year and making sure this year happened. Last year was an experiment making education part of the Clinton Global Initiative. And by the end of the Clinton Global Initiative, based on the comments people had made personally to President Clinton, he decided actually on the last day to make education a permanent part of the Clinton Global Initiative going forward. So I'm going to just start by where I ended up last year, which is saying that education has not always gotten the attention it deserves, particularly education in poor and developing countries and the challenge of that being understood in the developed countries. And for those of us who have wondered why, we've often said perhaps it's because you never see that moment on TV, on CNN or the BBC or CNBC where you see a child actually losing their life because of lack of education. And everybody in this room knows that indeed education is life and death, and whether young children and particularly young girls are educated affects infant mortality, it affects the contraction of HIV/AIDS, it affects maternal mortality. It is life and death issue, and we all know that, and we don't need to repeat those facts. But as I also said last year, I think what makes so many of us be here and be committed to this is that it is also life-enhancing, and that it is, I think, of all the development issues, the one that connects people together. You can go into the poorest school in the poorest village in Africa or South Asia and ask a first graders to put up their hands and ask them what they want to be, and the overwhelming number will say they want to be teachers or doctors. They have high aspirations, and they have aspirations to do the things that will help other people. And when we see that, I think that more than anything else prevents us from objectifying people or seeing them as victims and seeing them more as children who are like our children and that we're all connected with. And I do think that's what brings us together. Last night at dinner, we heard from Kenya, who I heard at the Vital Voices Award dinner, and her personal story of conviction, in one story of somebody going against the complete grain of a rural Maasai village in Kenya to now be on the verge of getting her PhD in education at University of Pittsburgh is one person's trail, but in many ways is the path that we want to create for so many young people around the world. So, Kenya, could you stand up for 1 second? We thought very hard and we listened very carefully on what we wanted to try to cover. And I think we feel very committed to a few things, and we want to hear your views after this is over as well. But one thing we heard over and over again was that people were glad that we were doing quality, that while we have to focus on access, we have to do access and quality together. And our first panel that will follow here is on the issue of how you spread quality, not just how you create in a particular place. And we've got four amazing women, from our moderator to the superintendent of the D.C. schools to amazing people from India and Mali who will be talking about their issues. I guess the expression is educate a woman and you build a nation. At CGI, I learned let women do the whole panel and you have a great panel. Our second panel represents another commitment that we have, that as much as we're talking about the big macro issues, we never want at CGI to forget that you got to work harder for the most hard to reach. Even in poor nations, disadvantaged communities in the United States, it takes extra intervention, and we never want to forget. And last year, we focused on children with disabilities, street children. This will be on some of the most hard to reach, most disadvantaged adolescents. And we'll be looking at an innovative program in the United States, but we'll also be looking at the issue of girl child soldiers in Uganda. We'll be looking at sex trafficking in Thailand and getting young women out of sex trafficking into schools. And that's a commitment we want to do every year, is to make sure we never take our eye off some of the most difficult cases, but I think the highest rewarding cases. And you'll hear from Valentino later, but I think he, again, symbolized, as to Kenya, the promise of CGI, that through education, lives can be turned around and can keep paying dividends for families and communities for generations to come. Our third comes from another thing we heard from people, which was, we love the focus on education, we love going deep in an issue, but aren't there overlaps? And so this third one we're going to do together with the health track, and it's going to be on the education and health connection. So we can talk about how schools can be used for HIV/AIDS prevention. We can talk about school feeding, school deworming, some of the important strategies that only happen when you bring the health and education community together. Our fourth panel also reflects the fact that as much as we want to focus on basic education, that we also want to look at how education is contributing to growth more immediately. And this panel will be on the issue of education, business education for women in emerging economies. How do we go to that level above microfinance, not just in terms of capital, but in terms of empowering women with education right now, not waiting for two generations of more young women going to get MBAs, but how can you give them serious business education now that can allow them to be executives and run and grow small and medium enterprises? And that will be our fourth panel at the late afternoon on Thursday, and an excellent panel. And Friday, again, staying with the notion that we always want to focus on young people in conflict and post-conflict situations, we're doing education and the struggle for peace and stability, and we'll focus on Sierra Leone, on Iraq, and on Haiti. And we have, you know, from Zainab Salvi, many of you know, from Women to Women International, to Wyclef Jean, the singer who spoke to some of us at dinner last night, and Christina Thorpe from Sierra Leone. Again, don't leave on Friday. That will be a great panel with George Stephanopoulos moderating as well. And so I really hope that we'll see all of you and see all of you throughout. I just want to mention that we have, like last year, as we did a commitment, a mega commitment. And education, we're trailblazers. We did the first, quote, mega commitment. Every other group thought this was such a good idea that now we've institutionalized it. Last year, the mega commitment was on education and conflict, and about 18 partners contributed. And we've had amazing things grow out of it that we'll show. Angelina Jolie, who is not here, has, together with myself and others, now formally creating a 501c3 called the Education Partnership for Children in Conflict, and they just put up. And I do want to, I'll do a slight plug in the following. The goal of this is not to raise one penny for the Education Partners for Children in Conflict. It is to be a pass-through to the organizations, to use our website, to use Angelina's profile to raise money and attention for education, children, and conflict. We just put up the website, educationpartnership.org. Of course, it's not going to have much money on it right now because it just started today, but you can help build up those numbers. But more importantly, we'd love to work with you on strategies, how we can help build up the great things that you are doing for children in conflict. And then this year, the mega commitment is going to be on school feeding and school deworming. And we decided this together, initially with Nancy Roman at the World Food Program, when we saw food prices soaring, but we saw nobody focusing on the fact of what that was going to mean for school feeding programs. This is a place where the evidence is very clear. You cut school feeding programs and kids drop out of school, and girls drop out of school more than boys. And so we wanted to pull CGI together for making that commitment, and then we realized how important it was at the same time to do the deworming that can be done so cheaply. And so that will be the mega commitment that is announced tomorrow morning. And just to show you how much power we have at Education Track, we got the slot of announcing this at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, and then after that, John McCain decided to speak right before our commitment, and Barack Obama will satellite in afterwards. So I hope that the Education Track will all be gracious in thanking the two presidential candidates for helping to highlight our mega education commitment this year. But I will say that you know, we're going to go on and see a lot of inspiring things, but I think one thing that we just have to stop for a moment today is, you know, what we did last year on education and conflict was tremendous. And I think one of our greatest partners was the IRC. And we worked so closely with George Rupp, who's here, and Rebecca Winthrop, who's not here because she had a baby on Sunday. But they've been one of our very important partners. But I think a lot of you, you know, might have read that they suffered a very serious tragedy on August 13th in 2008. When four of their very dedicated workers were shot to death by thugs in Afghanistan while they were there trying to help children with disabilities in Afghanistan. And I just want to I want to let you see their faces for a second, which is Shirley Case. Shirley began working at the IRC in Afghanistan in June, overseeing a project that gives children with disabilities equal access to education. Nicole Dial. Nicole dedicated her life to supporting programs that help especially vulnerable children, child soldiers, landmine survivors, and marginalized children. Muhammad Amel was their driver, and not just a driver, passionate about the issue and proud to work with IRC. And finally, we just most have to mention Jackie Kirk. She was really Rebecca's partner in crime and working on education, and she had already agreed to be a table facilitator for this year. And, you know, Jackie worked with all of us who were involved in the INEE and really one of the pioneers. She was the lead researcher for the IRC's Healing Classrooms initiatives, which she helped pilot in Afghanistan, and focused on education projects in Asia, particularly focusing on teacher training, girls in emergency, and armed conflict. So when we talk about the fact that we don't want to forget not just poor children in poor countries, but children in the worst circumstances in those poor countries, these were four women who, three women and one gentleman who were there doing it and gave their lives. So, you know, on behalf of George Rupp, head of our IRC, and Rebecca Winthrop, and I think all of us at CGI and the education and emergency community, we just want to take a moment of silence in remembering them and what they stand for. Thank you, and I also want you to know that President Clinton wrote each of the families and expressed the exact same sentiment that I just did. But I think they would be the first to say the work goes on. And one of the things that we heard and really has helped shape how we're doing CGI this year, not just in the education track, was that people said to us, and we thought this was so right, CGI just can't be about what's happening next. It can't just be about the new commitment. It can't be you come and make a commitment in 2005 and then you're forgotten. We want people, this to be about the new commitments and progress on the existing commitments. And we want people to make new commitments, helping people with past commitments succeed. Most people who make commitments here don't have all the money that they do. They're not done. Many of them need $1.5 million. They have $500,000 raised. We want people to think about making their commitments and understand that you will be recognized as having a new commitment when you help somebody else with a previous one, help that succeed, help them overcome the obstacles. So we decided that we were going to start at CGI with exactly that, a kind of overall progress report. And we'll give a few more progress reports, but we want to make this lunch opening about letting people see what has actually happened. And we made a decision in the education track that while we wanted to have a few speakers, and we have a few great speakers, that we also wanted you to be able to see with your own eyes some of this work. So we asked several of the groups that had commitments, could they put together a video so you could hear from the workers implementing it, see things with your own eyes. And we're going to move quickly, but we're going to move quickly because we want you to really see with your own eyes and get a taste of some of the great work that is happening. And we'll intersperse, so you don't think you're watching total video, three live speakers to talk about their commitment. And one of them will be, and I'm just going to introduce all three now so we can move quickly through. One of them is Her Excellency Reem Al-Hashimi, and she is the Minister of State in the Cabinet of the United Arab Emirates and manages the International Affairs Unit of the Executive Office of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed. And I think last year, you know, one of the big bangs that came from education was when the Royal Family of Dubai launched at Clinton Global Initiative Dubai Cares. And I think, as you will see when you hear from her, that is a commitment that has had a lot of action and progress, and there's a lot of people in this room who've benefited from it. And then secondly, I said at the end of last year that the face of CGI was Valentino A. Chek Deng. If you haven't read the book, What is the What?, you ought to get it. It's doing pretty well in paperback, Valentino. But Valentino, who was a lost boy of Sudan and who pairs together with one of the most brilliant young writers, David Eggers, they decide, as they have this best-selling book, that, of course, they're going to take all the profits and use it to build a school back in Marwa, his hometown. And just, again, his transformation through his perseverance, as with Kikenya, and then both of them wanting to give back and build schools in their hometown is so inspiring. And he, I talked to David Eggers a few times, and he said, you know, Valentino, don't think of him like you used to. Think of him as a guy out there, like, ordering cement from Uganda, negotiating. I mean, he's not, you talk about hands-on, he's building this school, literally building this school. And then finally, our third speaker will be Jasmine Whitbread of Save the Children UK. And they've just been such a critical partner with the Education Partnership for Children of Conflict. Their Rewrite the Future campaign has really been at the forefront of focusing on education and conflict together with IRC and so many of the other groups. And they dramatically expanded their programs in 9 different countries as part of Clinton Global Initiative. So with that, we're going to let you see some of the video with your own eyes, and there's no better way to do that than to start with one of the Clinton Global Initiative winners, award winners last year, Fazel Abed and Brack, who expanded their programs beyond Bangladesh to Afghanistan, Tanzania, Uganda, and southern Sudan. And we thought no better way to start today and keep enjoying your meal by listening to some of their children. So if we could start the video. Thank you.
Since then, we have been able to raise $148 million. This means that we are halfway to fulfilling the commitment we made. This may sound like a lot of money, but the cost of not educating them is far greater.
আমার বয়স তখন 6 বছর আমি তখন স্কুলে যাই না আর কি তখন পাশ থেকে মানে আমার এক আপা আসে উনি আমাকে ব্র্যাক স্কুলে ভর্তি করেন তখন আমার বয়স 7 বছর আমি তখন ব্র্যাক স্কুলে ভর্তি হই এবং নিয়মিত স্কুল করি ওখানে পড়াশোনা শেষ করে আমি ক্লাস সিক্সে ভর্তি হই তখন আমার বাবা মারা যান তখন আমাদের সংসারে খুব অভাব অনটন চলে আসে মানে তখন আমার প্রায় পড়াশোনা বন্ধ করে দেওয়ার মতন একটা অবস্থা চলে ব্র্যাক যদি আমাকে সাহায্য না করত আমার মনে হয় পড়াশোনা আমার বন্ধই হয়ে যেত
আমার নাম মুসাম্মা সাবিন আক্তার আমি প্রথম শ্রেণীতে পড়ে আমার বাবা মাঠে কাজ করে আর মা রান্না করে আমার 2 বোন 3 ভাই
তুমি লেখাপড়া করে কি হতে চাও
ডাক্তার হতে চাই
তাই ব্র্যাক স্কুলে পড়তে কি ভালো লাগে কেন ভালো লাগে
ব্র্যাক স্কুলে নাচ হয় গান হয় পড়া ভালো লাগে আনিয়ে কাজ দেখলি না পারেন কুমিয়া কাজ আবিন কান কাজ কুবের জামুয়েন হেও মেডিলাম মেডমেলা কোয়ান আন কা কোয়ানো মিয়া বেলা চার দোকান পিয়েন বেড়ে দিয়ে কেন কয় ডানো
আনিয়ে কানি মানা পার গান কান কান ওয়ান ফুল বিয়ান বিয়ান ওয়া পুঙ্গা চান নিয়ে ওয়া নক মে বেবে কান ওয়ান টিন ন ওয়ান জে মু দু কিলো মন মা ওয়া ওয়ান ফুল টির পুঙ্গা ন কেট মা ওয়ান মিয়ার ওয়া চো কি নিং ওয়া কে কুবে দং টি ফ নি ওয়ান দং মিয়ার দং ওয়ান দং গে চান নিং ওয়া চি গে ন বেবে ওয়ান টিন ন ই দ টি দং ওয়ান দং গে ওয়া দম লে মো কাই মু কান কা ওয়ান দ ওয়া জে টি দং কুবে চান ওয়ান কান মা ওয়ান টি মিয়ার তে ক চান ন ন দা ইয়ার তে রে
I think Clinton Global Initiative is such a wonderful platform and a connector. So I would expect that those who are interested in BRAC's program would love to talk to them and see if we can mobilize more resources and partnering with them.
পরবর্তীতে আরো মেয়েরা এরকম সুযোগ পায় আমাদের গ্রাম থেকে আমাদের দেশ থেকে এটাই আমি চাই এবং এই বিষয়ে পড়াশোনা করে আমি দেশের জন্য কিছু করতে চাই এবং গ্রামের কিছু করতে চাই।
All of us know Helene Gale and CARE and know how much their commitment is to empowering girls in education, trying to reach 4 million children in Bangladesh, Uganda, in India, and Malawi. And Helene Gale felt very strongly that she wanted us to hear from the people who work for her and work with these children who can't always be at CGI. So this is the CARE video.
Please stand by.
Poverty is the single greatest challenge facing the global community today.
Poverty is a lack of power. It's a lack of hope. It's not seeing what your future can be.
Whatever index that you look at for measuring extreme poverty, women and girls bear the brunt of it.
One of the best ways that we can end global poverty is to put power into the hands of the people who can really make a difference.
Focusing on women enables us to really get at the root of poverty.
If everybody was starting at the same starting line of the race, we'd focus both on boys and girls. But in many cases, girls have many more barriers or obstacles they have to overcome before they even get to the starting line.
We're very pleased to be partners with Clinton Global Initiative, and we made a commitment in 2007 to providing education and leadership development for 4 million girls in 4 countries over a 10-year period of time.
We are creating a pathway or a route to getting them out of poverty so that they can become empowered.
It's really taking education a step further. Not just providing education, but empowering the use of education.
Ultimately, what we want to create is a ripple effect. We want to create a catalytic impact that means that these girls will end up being change agents for themselves, but also for the next generation, and catalyze change for future generations.
By bringing them out of the shadows and into a place where they can voice their concerns and demand their rights, it makes a difference for everyone.
We think that the gathering of the evidence is as important as the implementing of the program. We feel that by doing this, we will be able to share experience that others can learn from and approaches that can be replicated.
CARE has always been a leader in the fight against poverty. CARE has always provided innovative solutions, and I think this is just one of CARE's innovative solutions.
The Clinton Global Initiative is all about partnerships, and we can't do the work that we do without developing strong partnerships.
Then we start to build a movement that makes a difference in the lives of not only the people in developing countries, but in my life, in your life.
Success looks like that young girl that gets an education and becomes a member of parliament and develops policies that help her community to get into that pathway to success.
That's how we continue to build that virtuous cycle that helps to end and break the chains of poverty.
You should be so happy that we didn't have technical difficulties, because I was really going to come do my moonwalk, and you may still get to see it. A couple of years ago, a very close friend of mine and many others, Josh Steiner, called me and said, you have got to make 15 minutes on your schedule to meet Luann Zerlo of World Fund. And I did that as a favor to him, but it's been a complete pleasure ever since, not only for me, but for the Clinton Global Initiative. They made a commitment last year on improving teacher quality in Mexico, particularly working with Dartmouth College to improve English language instruction. They're trying to reach 250,000 young Mexican kids over 8 years. And they, at the same time that they're working on last commitment, they also have a new commitment now to launch STEM Brazil with after-school math and science program to reach another 2,000 kids. So with that, we'll roll the tape on the World Fund commitment.
In today's increasingly interdependent world, English language proficiency can open many new doors and opportunities for Mexican students. Yet, until recently, English language instruction has not been a priority in Mexico's public schools. In September 2007, World Fund, with the help of the Clinton Global Initiative, brought together Dartmouth College's Rossius Center for World Language and Cultures, NII Holdings, and Televisa Foundation to address this challenge. Their goal? To create a network of committed educators in Mexico who will work together to transform English language instruction in their country. The program was named the Inter-American Partnership for Education.
All of the teachers and all of us who are involved in the delivery of the program are all partners in this inter-American learning community.
The central platform for this year's commitment was an 11-day pedagogical training program at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire.
We've really been trying to have a strong international presence, and a part of that presence is doing something here on campus that people can take back to their home countries and really apply what they learn here at home.
In November 2007, the partners were approached by Mexico's Ministry of Education. The ministry asked for help preparing English teachers involved in a Mexican presidential initiative to introduce English language instruction in all public elementary schools over the next 6 years.
We received over 120 applications for this year's program. They came from classroom teachers, supervisors, elementary school, secondary school, university level teachers of English, and also university level teacher trainers.
55 finalists were interviewed in Mexico, and 40 educators were invited to participate in the inaugural program.
What they all have in common is that they're all teachers at public schools or public universities in Mexico who work with under-resourced populations, and they have a real commitment to what they're doing.
The purpose of the 11-day component at Dartmouth College was to expose the participants to new professional perspectives on language and education through 90 hours of workshops, seminars, and cultural activities with leading educators. The cornerstone of the program was a series of workshops with Professor John Rossius, founder and creator of the Rossius Method of Language Instruction.
I believe that when they came here, they had a blank ceiling on top of them and one that they couldn't reach, even to scratch on. As the days went on and on and on, they were more comfortable, they were more able to situate what we were doing and to see how that would affect their careers in the future. And now they want to go back. It's a revolution, it's a revolution.
I don't think any of us expected the synergy to take place the way it did when all of these incredible people got together and started interacting.
Other sessions include presentations by local school teachers, psychologists, linguists, and faculty members from Dartmouth College. Participants also visited four local schools and had the opportunity to interact with language students from around the world at a Rossius language camp. All program expenses were fully covered by the program sponsors, with support from several state offices of Mexico's Ministry of Education. IAPE is working with a Mexican consulting firm to evaluate the program's long-term impact and to double its size in 2009 and 2010. All the participants have made a 3-year commitment to this venture through an ongoing mentoring project.
We are working with students that have very few financial resources, so we hope that this helps them to improve in their lives.
This is really practical stuff, a lot of techniques that we're going to be teaching, spreading around Mexico. That's the whole idea.
Definitely one of my biggest obstacles is that many of my students didn't have a book. Now I'm going to be able to focus not only on the writing and reading skills, but also on the oral skills. I'm going to be able to make them speak and feel, and also to place them in real situations in life.
It is a great, great bridge that has been built between Mexico and the United States. People came here with the idea of learning how to adopt our methods, and they did. I know that they will go back fully confident of the charge that they have acquired here.
Thank you so much. The quality of these is so strong, but I just have to say, and I think everybody in this room probably appreciates this, as great as it is to get kids in, it is very hard to convince funders and others to do quality and capacity enhancement. So to actually bring it to life, to actually see what it looks like, that was terrific. So thank you. Without any further introduction, I will now let you see a live speaker. Her Excellency Reem Al-Hashimi, to talk about Dubai Cares.
Thank you, Jean, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your commitment to the shared objectives of our work here today, to bring quality education to every child across the globe so that they are enabled to succeed and reach their potential. It is an honor to be here with such remarkable champions of our global community. When we last met 1 year ago, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, the Prime Minister of the United Arab Emirates and ruler of Dubai, made a commitment to you and to our world. He promised to help over 1 million children in developing nations worldwide by providing an environment that supports the progress of students, enabling them to assume their rightful positions as positive contributors to society. As a global citizen that is home to people from over 200 countries, the UAE's relationship with the international community is organic, interdependent, and reciprocal. Launched 1 year ago, Dubai Cares has evolved into the world's largest charitable establishment devoted solely to improving primary education around the globe. Dubai Cares was founded on the vision of Sheikh Mohammed, who believes that education is the best and maybe even only long-term solution to combat poverty, and that educating children, especially girls, is a key component to fighting the global cycle of poverty. Dubai Cares represents Dubai's contribution to the UN Millennium Development Goals for providing primary education to every child by 2015. And it supports our commitment to you, the Clinton Global Initiative. Dubai Cares further validates our vow to playing an effective role in securing a better tomorrow for future generations, and I'm honored to have been appointed its chairperson. Almost $1 billion was raised in an 8-week fundraising drive last fall, with which Dubai Cares is implementing need-specific primary education programs through world-renowned institutions, many of which are here today, such as Save the Children, UNICEF, MSF, Oxfam, and Care International. We strive to address the full value chain of education to help millions break free from the trap of poverty by providing them the means to overcome obstacles and to integrate them into the social and economic mainstreams of their own communities. In its inaugural year, Dubai Cares prioritized grants to 12 countries that experienced the highest gap in primary education and is working in the following beneficiary countries. These are Bangladesh, Bosnia, Chad, Comoros Islands, Djibouti, Maldives, Mauritania, Niger, Pakistan, the occupied Palestinian territories, Sudan and Yemen, and Palestinian refugees in both Lebanon and Jordan. Ladies and gentlemen, to date, after only 1 year, we have reached 4 million children, trained 22,379 teachers, built and renovated 2,072 schools, and helped establish 3,157 parent-teacher associations. If you applaud, then I will run out of time. So if you don't mind holding off until the end, because they promised to yank me out of here. Two specific examples that highlight some of the work being done with our partners include our work in Sudan. Dubai Cares works closely with Save the Children on a 5-year collaboration to provide quality primary education across Sudan, directly supporting 115,000 children in 200 schools and 50 early childhood development centers. The commitment Dubai Cares has made to provide basic education in Sudan is more than thrice the total direct aid provided for basic education from all donor governments worldwide to Sudan last year. Another example is our work in Bosnia-Herzegovina. 12 years after the end of the bloodiest civil war to have hit Europe since World War II, scars of war remain fresh in the memory of the children, influencing their perceptions and relations with one another. Ethnic, religious lines that divided soldiers during the Balkan War continue to divide the children, most of whom were not even born during the war. There are, in fact, 13 education systems in the country, where cultural and ethnic isolation is built into the education system as much as into social life and deepens existing divisions. The education sector is the most politicized social sector in Bosnia and easily and often victim of ethnic and national interest. The most blatant emanation of ethnic division and the segregation of children is the phenomena of divided schools, or two schools under one roof, where children are segregated and often physically divided from each other based on their ethnicity or nationality. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a troubled neighborhood. We believe that building a strong knowledge-based society, along with a strong regional economy, is our best chance for lasting stability in the Middle East. More than half of the 1.5 billion people in our neighborhood are under the age of 25. In the Arab world alone, some 80 million young people, out of a total population of 300 million, are seeking jobs. His Highness views these young people as extraordinary resources and has personally endowed the Mohammed bin Rashid Maktoum Foundation with $10 billion to fast-track education and entrepreneurship as the forged cornerstones of building a safer world in the Middle East. Our response to global challenges covers more than education. Earlier this month, His Highness launched Noor Dubai to combat preventable blindness, giving the gift of sight to over 1 million people in developing nations in the coming year. We look forward to sharing with you details of the success of this initiative when we meet again next year. Ladies and gentlemen, we're fighting to alleviate poverty, generating better education, and creating economic opportunity for people, and enabling people everywhere to be entrepreneurs and to believe in themselves. We strive to change people's lives for the better by opening doors for future generations, to shape their communities by equipping them with world-class knowledge and education, willpower, confidence, and most importantly, hope. I'm optimistic that by working together, we may uncover new areas of cooperation which extend beyond those of us here today and spread their benefits to societies as a whole. Thank you very much for your time and attention.
I swear, Your Excellency, I was just joking about the mechanical hook. It's, I think. If we had one more panel this year, if we had time for one more panel, I would have liked to have done it on early childhood. It was the first of the Education for All goals in Dakar in 2000, and it's too often forgotten. We actually, as a result of our Education Partnership for Conflict last year, the Boeing Foundation actually gave us some resources to start looking at programs, particularly in conflict areas, and develop a menu that could be make it easier for people to contribute in this area. But while we're out looking for those, you don't have to look very far in terms of the Global Fund for Children, because Maya Ajmera and her organization have been doing great things here and taking leadership on this for a long time. And they've had commitments to do over 20 countries, touch the lives of 250 to 500,000 young people in early childhood. So consider this a progress report and hopefully a teaser for a focus we will take next year. So with that, this is the commitment of Maya Ajmera and the Global Fund for Children.
I'm Maya Ajmera, and I'm president of the Global Fund for Children. In 2007, at the Clinton Global Initiative, we had the honor of making a five-year, $10 million commitment for the Under 8 Initiative. Our goal is to support 100 grassroots organizations that work specifically on the issues of early childhood development for the most vulnerable children in the world. The Global Fund for Children will develop children's books, invest in documentary films, and capture the work of these grassroots organizations serving children under 8 through documentary photography. More than 200 million young children in the developing world are not fulfilling their developmental potential due to poverty, poor nutrition, and insufficient care. The Early Childhood Development Challenge was documented in a series of articles in The Lancet in 2007. Urging an evidence-based global call to action. Early interventions are so needed in the developing world. In the first year of our commitment, we supported over 25 grassroots organizations served by innovative leaders providing innovative early childhood services to children under 8. This year, we're going to double that to over 50. A highly innovative group called Mobile Creches in Mumbai, India, has created early childhood development learning centers at the construction sites where mothers and fathers can leave their children during the day. These children go to school, they learn to read, they get a hot meal, and they have a safe place to play. In Latin America, we are supporting a group in Bolivia that supports early childhood development centers for children under the age of 4. They are learning to read, write, and they are gaining motor skills. The things that are so important for children to become healthy, productive citizens of the world. Not only did we make a commitment to support over 100 grassroots organizations serving children under 8 in the developing world, but at the Global Fund for Children, we also have a very strong artistic component to our work. We develop children's books, we invest in documentary films, and we support documentary photographers. At the Global Fund for Children, we believe that through books, films, and documentary photography, we can highlight the great potential of the very children we aim to assist with our grant-making efforts. As part of our commitment this past year, we put out a board book for children under 4 years old called Global Babies, which shows that children are beautiful treasures no matter where they are from. We invested in the film War Child, the story of Emmanuel Jal, a former child soldier, at the age of 7 in Sudan, who has become a global hip-hop star. That documentary film was released in Tribeca in New York City this past May and won the Audience Award. In addition, we are supporting documentary photographers to highlight the work of the U8 Initiative. The Global Fund for Children has made a commitment to support 100 grassroots organizations over 5 years supporting early childhood education initiatives for the poorest children in the world. I think we're going to surpass that with your help. We are looking for partners for the Under 8 Initiative.
Even before we decided to do the mega commitment on school feeding, we had a major commitment last year. It was done by Nisif Acharya and the Desbande Foundation through Madhu Sridhar, who runs the Akshay Patra. And they made a commitment to feed a nutritious meal to 1 million Indian public school children at least once a day for every day of the school year. Now, I said earlier, sometimes you got to see the teacher quality in action to believe it. Madhu said, no one believes we do this because they can't imagine the kitchens. So we're going to do a video that actually makes you see the kitchens that produce these meals. So roll the tape. Thank you.
On September 1st, 2008, in just 8 years since its inception, the Akshaya Patra Foundation reached its ambitious milestone of feeding 1 million underserved children in schools in India. Akshaya Patra is a non-profit public-private partnership that combines good management, innovative technology, and smart engineering. It costs just $28 to feed a child for the entire year. Akshaya Patra, the largest NGO-run school lunch program in the world, is simultaneously addressing two of the most pressing challenges facing children in India: hunger and education. This program is a strategic intervention in education aimed at unlocking the vicious and perpetual cycle of generational poverty. Launched modestly in the year 2000 in the city of Bangalore to feed 1,500 children, Akshaya Patra has scaled its operation to feed 1 million children daily from 14 kitchens to over 4,500 schools in 5 states in India. For many children, this is their only complete meal for the day. It gives them an incentive to come to school, stay in school, and provides them the necessary nutrients they need to improve their cognitive abilities and perform well in the classroom.
Last year, at the Clinton Global Initiative, the Deshpande Foundation and the Akshaya Patra Foundation announced the commitment to serve school lunch to 1 million children. This is to take on a challenge to serve 220 million meals a year.
Akshaya Patra employs centralized automated kitchens to cook food in mass quantities. A multi-story kitchen design and the use of gravity flow mechanisms reduce human handling of raw materials and cooked food. Washed, uncooked rice is tipped into stainless steel ducts. A level below, rice falls into huge cauldrons, each of which can cook rice for 1,000 children at a time. Steam is the cooking medium. On this bottommost level, the cooked rice falls into containers which move on a conveyor belt. The sambar, a dish of lentils and vegetables, is cooked through a similar automated process. The packed food is loaded into custom-built, insulated vehicles that can transport food for 5,000 children and travel up to 45 miles from the kitchen. Akshaya Patra kitchens follow ISO standards and maintain the highest level of hygiene, food handling techniques, and kitchen waste management. Recent studies conducted by AC Nielsen, an independent research firm, demonstrate the program's positive impact on school attendance, retention, nutrition, and performance.
You know, people, when they come to India in the past, always used to tell them to make sure that they saw Taj Mahal. But these days, when people come to India, I tell them, Taj Mahal is impressive, but the Akshay Patra kitchens are even more impressive.
Children are the ultimate beneficiaries of the program. We are sure to succeed if you choose to stand with us. Please join us in our mission and make your commitment to eradicate hunger and promote education for underserved children in India.
That's awesome. Well, if your goal was to make us understand with our own eyes how it actually happens, you have succeeded. So thank you. Obviously, a large chunk of the commitments last year were part of the mega commitment on education for partnership for children of conflict. We've mentioned that we now have an official 501c3 and educationpartnership.org. And don't ask me how educationpartnership.org was still available, but sometimes you get lucky. And, you know, we just want to just thank some of the people who helped us right at the beginning on this, Jamie Cooper-Hahn of Children's Investment Fund and Debbie Berger of Unbound Philanthropy. Our very first matchmaking was Novo Foundation, Peter Buffett and Jennifer Buffett and the IRC, and, of course, Hewlett Foundation. And then the Boeing Foundation has come through and asked us to start looking at early childhood and conflict. But of the partners who made the commitments, which were to reach, 350,000 children to try to get access to and another 690,000 for quality, there really has been an enormous amount of progress. But before we show you some of those, some of the films of some of the education conflict commitments, we do want to give Valentino H.H. Deng a chance to actually talk about his commitment. And in the background, you'll see some pictures, and those are the actual pictures of the school taking place. And I'll just say what I told everybody when I left last year. You know, you come to Clean Global Initiative, you get to meet a couple billionaires, you get to meet a couple celebrities, but I don't think I've ever was as excited as anything as to be so captivated and read a book about an amazing life story of somebody, have the book end, and then actually get to be part of the next chapter. All of us are, and seeing him come to Clinton Global Initiative and do this, and it is really, really very exciting. My very good friend, Valentino H.H. Deng. Thank you.
Again, I'm excited to have these wonderful times again to stand in front of all of you. And I would like to thank you for sparing your valuable time to be here. Last year, I stood here beside Jean and Angelina Jolie to make a commitment, believing that at Clinton Global Initiatives, we meet partners who will be there for life. We meet people who are excited about the progress that we make in our project. And that's exactly what happened. I made a commitment that I'll build a second school in Marial Bay in southern Sudan. Many of you have heard about Sudan. There are good things there. There are worrying things happening in Darfur. But there is hope. We are building a second school in a post-conflict region where there are, in many parts, primary schools, but there are no second schools. Ours will be one of the second schools that will serve over 30 primary schools in the region and even more in the country. I went back to Sudan in January, but was stranded in Kenya due to the post-election violence, and I succeeded. We have finished the construction of classrooms. We are intending to open this second school in April next year. I have a hand on this project. I came back here on Wednesday and will go back to Sudan because I believe that in education we can change the world. I believe that in education we can even change our own families, the way we view the global community. That is exactly what I am going to be doing in Sudan, and I would like you to know that next year I would like to come back here to report that I have completed that part promise that I made and that I am on to another one, and I will do it. I believe in that. Yeah. Our only limit is the funding, because we are operating in a post-conflict region where prices of everything are triple. We are working very carefully on how we will achieve our project. And again, I would like to mention to you that through CGI, we make partners who will be there in life. The people who come here are ones who believe in the possibility that we can change the world in whatever way we can. I am honored to stand before you and wanted to thank you again for your time here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Valentino, and it was inspiring to see. I know you're not all the way there yet, but to see the pictures and what you're doing, and I wish I could fully remember Dave Eggers' description of you negotiating the cement price with people in Uganda. But I'm sure you're tough. But thank you so much. Our next video is again from one of the Education Partnership for Children of Conflict commitments last year, and it was also another one of the winners of the Clinton Global Citizenship Award, which was Vicky Colbert of Escuela Nueva. And again, for a lot of us, Vicky, I had a book with Barbara Hers called "What Works in Girls' Education." You're cited all over it. We all cited you, but we never. So our first thing was we got to actually meet Vicky with our own eyes instead of just citing her work. But I'm really looking forward to now a chance to actually see with our own eyes some of the progress she made in her commitment to provide educational opportunities with her Escuela Nueva model for over 8,000 war-affected children.
In English. In Colombia, there are many challenges to making sure that every child receives a quality education. In addition, Colombia has one of the largest numbers of internally displaced persons. Because of this, the education of thousands of children is affected by conflict. Last year, at the Clinton Global Initiative, as part of the mega commitment announcement through the Education Partnership for Children of Conflict, we committed to provide a quality education to 8,700 war-affected children in Colombia, ages 6 to 15, who have been displaced from their homes due to armed conflict. The Escuela Nueva Learning Circles program is an innovation of the proven Escuela Nueva educational model adapted to meet the distinctive needs of vulnerable displaced children. They are places of learning located within local communities and are comprised of groups of between 12 and 15 students who work together with the aid of youth tutors, who facilitate learning and provide personalized attention through Escuelas Nuevas' flexible, self-paced, and collaborative approach. These Escuela Nueva learning circles facilitate the transition of displaced children into the schools, attracting them and maintaining them when conventional schools fail to adapt to their needs. Since making this commitment, 7,800 children have been enrolled into schools. Over 4,700 of these children are displaced migrant children, and the rest have been vulnerable children that have grown and lived through Colombia's armed conflict. Because of CGI, We have also joined forces with over 30 organizations to bring greater attention to this important issue through the Education Partnership for Children of Conflict. To allow more individuals to be part of our new commitment, we've developed a registry for the new Education Partnership website, www.educationpartnership.org, where people can donate in specific ways to educate children in Colombia through our Escuela Nueva Learning Circles program. But a true CGI moment at last year's annual meeting was when Eileen Sweeney of Motorola heard about Escuela Nueva and decided on the spot to donate $100,000 to our programs. We will be using this funding to launch another innovation of Escuela Nueva, the Escuela Nueva Cyber School, an online distance education program that follows our methodology to reach children in remote rural regions of Colombia with secondary education. We're making a lot of progress on our commitments despite many challenges that have come our way. The most critical issue today is ensuring sustainability and quality of the program, now that it also has become a national policy. Escuela Nueva is facing a shift in role from being trainers and implementers to being technical advisors overseeing implementation by others as it rolls out nationally. This has been challenging from an institutional perspective. But with the partnerships we hope to continue having through the Clinton Global Initiative, we are confident we will continue forward, expanding the Escuela Nueva model to reach children affected by conflict, both in Colombia and across the world, loyal to our mission of contributing to improve the quality of basic education and ensuring children fulfill this right.
I just have to know, when I have so many other people do pictures when you travel to schools, and how many of the pictures are you're with a class of 90 kids in a drab building with no light, nothing on the walls, and the kids are in rows with one teacher at the front. And Vicki Colbert goes into the poorest places, and you would think you were in a private school in New York or D.C. The kids are around tables smaller than this, five or six at a time, doing interactive learning, and there is color everywhere. And it's just such, it's so great to see with your own eyes that learning for kids, even in poor rural areas, can be as interactive and participatory with bright colors on the wall as it is even in the best schools in the United States. So thank you, Vicki. I do want to mention that about a week ago, Saturday morning, trying to be out with my 2.5-year-old and my 13-year-old, the phone rings, and it's Doug Band saying, President Clinton wants to talk to you. And President Clinton really just got very concerned about 10 days ago that somehow there are so many things in the world and so many countries we could concentrate on. But he just felt there was something exceptionally wrong going about on with the little bit of attention that was going to Haiti after the hurricane, already such a poor country with so many difficulties. And so he asked all of the education track all of the track leaders to just go back to everybody and say, could we have a moment at CGI where pulling collectively, we could try to see what we collectively could do to help fill that gap? And we've had some people help us create a menu, things they could do, people who are on the ground in Haiti if they had more funding. We have some other people who had large commitments, but they hadn't decided how to use them, and they're deciding to do a portion in Haiti. But if you would like to be part of this announcement and this effort that President Clinton will announce at the end of Clinton Global Initiative, we certainly have some options and some ideas. So right over there. Anda Adams, Anda, put up both hands right there. Anda will be here the whole time. But if you ask any of the deputies, any of the people running, if you're interested in talking about what you could do in Haiti, I know so many of you are already doing so much in so many countries, but this is a little bit of a collective effort to help fill a gap. So, again, if there's interest, please come talk to us. With that, I really do want to introduce someone who doesn't need a lot of introduction, Jasmine Whitbread, who is head of Save the Children UK and is really part of not only their previous commitment, but a new commitment with Dubai Cares to create child-centered, inclusive, healthy, and safe learning environments for another 225,000 kids. So we'd like Jasmine to talk a little bit about how their work has developed over the previous year. Jasmine?
Well, it's great to be here at the 2007 Clinton Global Initiative as part of the Education Partnership for Children in Conflict. The Save the Children Alliance renewed its pledge to rewrite the future, that's the name of the campaign that we launched, and committed to expand our education programs even further between 2008 and 2010. In eight more conflict-affected countries, in Uganda, northern Uganda, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Somalia, Sudan, Jordan, Lebanon, Haiti, and Colombia. And through that, to directly reach an additional 315,250 children, looking at both access and quality of education, and see millions more benefit from some new national and international campaigning and advocacy initiatives to really drive up this issue of tremendous importance, the number of children who are missing out in education simply because they're living in a country that is recovering from conflict. And the Global Clinton Initiative last year for us was tremendously helpful in terms of linking Save the Children to form new partnerships and attract additional resources and catalyze new initiatives. And we were just talking on our table here how it's a nice partnership, I think, in terms of presumably that's what Jean did with the speakers today, but we're all kind of linked in different ways, both with Valentino's experience in Sudan. He didn't mention it, but he just told me direct personal experience with Save the Children in Sudan. And then, of course, that collaboration, which you already heard about, that has just got another 200 schools up in Sudan, Save the Children working together with Dubai Cares, and 50 early learning centres for children. So we've made progress in each of the countries where we have made commitments, just linking through them. In Jordan, we're supporting Iraqi children seeking refuge in Jordan. We're developing formal and non-formal learning opportunities for vulnerable Iraqi and Jordanian children and youth between the ages of 3 and 24 in Jordan, which included repeated trainings of educational staff to improve quality. In the Congo, we've constructed and rehabilitated school buildings, trained teachers on the new primary curriculum, distributed teaching and learning materials in schools, and provided accelerated learning and literacy programs for out-of-school children. In Colombia, we've promoted new teaching models that include conflict resolution, construction of peace, and democratic school methods, and training youth groups and educational agents in resiliency, in child rights, gender, conflict management, situational analysis, and community engagement. And those are just to give you some examples. We have also made great progress in Somalia, in Uganda, and Haiti. So all of this adds up to some impressive numbers in terms of what we're reaching in conjunction with our partners around the world. We originally pledged to reach 8 million children across the whole Save the Children Alliance in all of these conflict-affected countries over a five-year period, and we're on track to do that. We've reached 5.7 million. But we're finding it particularly hard to raise the funds and attract the partners to when it comes to access. Improving quality, we're finding that a little easier, but when it comes to actually getting those numbers up to help keep bringing those numbers, addressing the numbers of children who are actually out of school and not getting education at all, that's where we are particularly finding a good amount of challenge. And that's really what we're looking for more partners to help us with at the moment. We think that the Global Clinton Initiative and the kind of people that I'm meeting here today are absolutely critical to this initiative, because traditional government donors who do fund education work around the world are not so interested in countries that have been affected by conflict. because the donors are either long-term development funds, and they say, well, you know, this is still uncertain, we're not sure in Liberia, in northern Uganda, we don't feel it's a development context yet. Or you get emergency funders who say, well, this isn't about, you know, literal life and death saving, life saving and death, this is about education, you know, you need to talk to the development people. And the consequence is it falls into a black hole. Nobody wants to get engaged, no one wants to do this work. But we know that it's not too difficult, as these donors would have you believe. It's going on. We're reaching the equivalent of two extra new primary schools full of children getting into school every single day through these partnerships. And we just want to continue that and meet that full target of 8 million children. We pride ourselves at Save the Children of being good partners to work with. We're not just looking for funding. We're looking for partners. We're looking to do whatever it takes with our partners to make sure that you get the investment return that you're looking for, but also that engagement. And what is it that you're looking for in this partnership? And we will promise to do what it takes to make sure you feel genuinely part of a partnership. So please do contact me if you're interested in making a real difference in, actually, as we say, rewriting the future for these millions of children who deserve a decent start in life. Thank you.
Well, it's only appropriate that our last video was the progress report on our very first education and conflict project, the one between the IRC and the Novo Foundation. To provide education activities really across borders in West Africa. It was our very first commitment. And I'd like to roll the IRC tape as our final tape before we let you go for, like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes.
Throughout history, throughout the world, war and conflict exact an enormous toll on children. At the International Rescue Committee, we work to protect the most marginalized young people, especially girls, and mitigate some of the worst consequences of fighting and displacement. Time and again, education proves to be effective in protecting children and providing structure and stability in their lives. In places like West Africa, education helps young people start to heal. That is why, at the Clinton Global Initiative in September 2006, the IRC joined forces with the Novo Foundation to improve education in the Ivory Coast, Sierra Leone, and Liberia. Together, we committed to helping thousands of girls and boys through a $15 million project we call the Legacy Initiative. The Legacy Initiative is founded on the belief that education is a platform for peace, and that rebuilding educational systems in war-wrecked West African countries will promote hope and prosperity in the region. Through Legacy, the IRC gives children and youth access to education and new skills. The vast majority of the children we help are girls and young women living in remote regions or in places where the conflict in their countries began. So far, the Legacy Initiative has helped 30,000 girls and boys get an education, and 1,500 teachers receive quality training. 150 schools and 25 vocational training centers have been improved. The obstacles to achieving results like these are substantial. Regional instability, poor roads, weak communications infrastructure are just some of the challenges we face. Thanks to the convening power of the Clinton Global Initiative, which made this partnership between the IRC and the Novo Foundation possible, we look past these challenges and look forward to helping more young people achieve their goals.
We are grateful to the Novo Foundation for its exceedingly generous and dynamic support. and we thank the Clinton Global Initiative for bringing us together. We are where we are today because of the partnership that CGI facilitated. From all of us here at the International Rescue Committee, thank you.
Basil, don't go anywhere yet. I just want to, you know, you saw everybody just in several of the people's videos are in the room. I just want to say if Fazl, Abed, and Susan Davis just want to stand up for anybody who doesn't know them, this was the BRAC video. I don't think Colleen Gale is still here, but you all know her. Luan Zarlo from World Fund is right here. I don't know if Maya Ajmera is still in the room, but you got to see her on tape. Are our folks from Akshay Patra and Deshpande? Thank you. Vicki Colbert was right here. And I don't know if George Rupp or Sarah Smith is in the room, but IRC right there. I'm not supposed to thank any of the people who work on this till the last session, but I have to tell you, we really, really wanted to have you see the work that people do here with your own eyes outside of this room. And this was something new we wanted to do. And I will tell you, when we said we were going to highlight 13 groups in one lunch and be on time, we got a lot of skepticism. This would not have happened if it was not for Justin Van Fleet there. He is, stand up, Justin. Justin worked so hard last year that he got so ill he was hospitalized. We brought him in a limousine on Friday so he could be here just for a few hours. He's healthy so far. I have many deputies here, but this is my right-hand guy. We wouldn't be here, and we would not have had this amazing video demonstration. And this was a brand-new thing. All these videos were made just for here, and I'm just so impressed by the quality. So thank you very much. You can take a... Yes, we'll make them online, and we're also going to make sure that by the end you know how to reach and contribute to the people that you're hearing if you're interested. So we're just going to be in this room. We're amazingly on time considering that the previous panel went 40 minutes late. So thank you, but you do have a little bit of time to get some coffee and go to the bathroom, but we'll do our best to stay back on time. Thank you so much.